thankful for them, and we want them to know that they matter to our church, that they can make a difference in our church, and that we will support them in our church. Lord Jesus, we just ask that today you move, that your Holy Spirit moves among us. Give us ideas. Give us a passion. Help us to move forward, that the great work that comes out of today is exactly what you want to see, Lord, and that this entire Michigan region, the entire denomination of the missionary church, is moved to take action for our next generation, Lord. We ask that you help us to be united, that we come with a problem-solving attitude, Lord, and that you help us to think way beyond what we could ever imagine. Blessings on all here today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks, Jerry. I really like her, you know that? She's awesome. Okay, so Millennial Gen Z, you know, the question put on the table is, why are they leaving the church? We had a panel yesterday with a few folks on it, and they gave us feedback. That feedback really kind of fell into these five buckets that you see here, right? The Bible, how do I live it? Being a church, making a difference, community relationships, investing in them, prioritizing the next generation in the church context, and then being open to change was the fifth one, okay? So we got all this feedback, this great feedback. Today, we're going to synthesize it. The goal for today is to take this information that's been placed on these wall charts, and we're going to actually break up into groups as teams, and we're going to go tackle each and every one of these specifically and render those action items, this feedback, back to the region for consideration for change, okay, and how we might tackle this across our Michigan churches within the missionary church, okay? We're looking for some radical change. And so with that, just a quick backdrop, just so you have this in context. I don't know, how many of you were here yesterday? I'm trying to discern. Okay, several, almost all. So for your edification, for those of you that were not here yesterday, what's reality for the millennial Gen Z age group here within the church? The bottom line is their attendance in the church is at an all-time low. Most of our churches in the missionary church don't even see 18 to 29-year-old people in them. That's the truth. Most. Second thing is 8 in 10 of the millennial Gen Z Christians will tell you that church is not important or even worthwhile. Kind of gives you the mindset of where the church is at. It's irrelevant to them. 59%, and some surveys say 70%, of those raised in the church actually drop out. So this is our young adults are actually dropping out. They're falling away. They're pulling away from the church as they know it today. This is our missionary churches. We're no different. Thousands and thousands of churches were surveyed, and this is how this information boiled down, okay? The last but not least is 35% of that age group, young adults, 18 to 29, say church does more harm than good. This is hard to stomach. So we need to change, right? And so with that, what we've done is we've synthesized this and summarized it in these sheets, okay? So what we're going to do right now with this kind of context is we're going to break up into groups of five. We're going to do this in a numerical fashion, okay? And so we're going to number these off. We're going to start with the one in the back here is going to be one. Oh, you caught me. Very good, very good. So, pastors, why don't you move to your stations? And we'll get you introduced here. First in the back, hailing from Colonial Woods. Who you are, name church, and, you know, that's, yeah, exactly. You're a pastor. You can ad lib it. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. There you go. Hallelujah. Excellent. And Paul. Hallelujah. Church plant on the go. All right? You actually meet in a community center, right? Excellent, excellent. So I'm gonna number you off, okay? We're gonna break you up into one of the five groups and we're gonna roll. Go, Caleb. Number them off. Okay. Here's the way we're going. One, down there with Dan. Two, over in Jason. Three, Matt. Four, over here with Megan and Jerry. And five, you're in the back with Paul. Five, you're in the back with Paul. One, two, three, four, five. I feel like I'm calling off bingo. Do we do that? Do we do that in the missionary church, Frank? Okay, guys, here's the deal. Listen up for a second. You got some rules here on how we're going to do this. Listen, your goal is to come up with actions that you want the region or churches at large to take action on, and they need to be measurable, okay? Don't say, well, we want to change the world. Right? That's not granular enough. We need some detail. You know, numbers, quantities. Who's going to own it? Who do you think should own it within the church at large? And then what resources do you need to actually implement it? Right? If you can get that done in the next 20 minutes, we will have accomplished our task. And your pastors are going to be facilitating and leading the discussion. So pull up some chairs, round it out. We're going to have fun with this. Okay, just a time check. We got about 5 to 6 minutes left. So if you're moving into your last two, you're probably in the right place, okay? Except you guys, you have like 7 or 8. So yeah, so just keep cranking through it. Okay, we're going to give you a few more minutes here. Make sure that you fill out your who owns this column and what resources you feel are needed to implement the action you're proposing. Okay, guys, you got less than 2 minutes to make sure that those columns are all filled out. Resources needed, we need to make sure we got them covered. If there's anything special, you got to declare it.
So for our group, we covered how we as churches need to be open to change, and this is a very broad topic, but we tried to tackle five main areas. First of all, God is the source of change. It is not coming from within in our systems, our programming and stuff, but it is God who is calling us to change, and we have to follow after that. The second is that churches need to be flexible. We need to be flexible in how we operate and what we're willing to give up at times and what we need to adopt at times to reach this generation. Number three is building doesn't matter. We're hitting a generation where we want to move outside of the walls. We're not here for the 9 a.m. on Sunday for an hour and a half doing worship for 30 minutes and then preaching for 45 and then talking afterwards. But church is the stuff that happens outside of the building, not within the building. Number four is young adults in leadership. How are we seeing our generation represented within the leadership? And number five is getting past the stereotypes. So we saw some of the things we want to take for action steps for God as the source of changes. First of all, we need to be praying and intentionally fasting in our churches to see what does God have for us? Where does God want to take us? We need to be seeking the Lord and saying, God, where do you want to come? And this is something that needs to be called from the people who are, this needs to come from people who are being called to do this. This doesn't necessarily come from leadership because they might not feel the same burden as the people who are leading this. So we need to be looking for people who are called to seek after God in this. And then we also need to have the leadership support in this. So we have people who are feeling called to pray and fast, but they need to know that their church is behind them when they say, hey, we need to make this change, and that the church is going to support us in this change. For church needing to be flexible, we saw that we needed to be willing to get away from how our services operate on a Sunday morning. It doesn't always look the same. Our time on our services might not be the same. How our worship looks might not be the same. And away from systems and ways we currently do things, are we willing to get past the way we currently do things in order to retain the young adults who are in our churches? This needs to be actually come a lot more from the leadership than those who are feeling it. And the big resource we need is exposure to the leadership of saying, this is what our young adults want from our church. This is what we want our services to look like, and they need to be informed on what that looks like. For number three, building doesn't matter. A huge part of this is discipleship. Our church members in intentionally discipling relationships with the younger people, and this is different age groups too. This isn't just people of one age group discipling the same age group. This is older people who are mentoring and in discipling relationships with younger people. I'll be honest, some of my best times, both in college and in my current life, are being discipled by somebody who's older, who I'm getting life experiences from, who I'm getting more knowledge of scripture and how life works. We have a wealth of knowledge from older people in our lives that are quite often untapped. And then are we willing to bridge that as younger people to older people? Are we willing to bridge that? And are the older people, the higher generations, willing to come down and grab a hold of a younger person and say, hey, we need to, would you be willing to meet with me one-on-one on a regular basis so we can share our life experiences and we can build that discipling relationship? Young adults in leadership. How can we get young adults better involved in our leadership? A huge part of this is, are we willing to let the young adults make mistakes? Part of doing ministry at times is making mistakes. And I think there's a fear for us young adults that if I'm going to make a mistake, well, it's over, and I shouldn't be doing this. Are we willing to let them make mistakes and communicate to them, it's all right if you make mistakes? That's part of life, and that's part of this whole thing called ministry, and we're going to go through this together. Another part of this is allowing them and empowering young adults. You see a young adult who's passionate about, this is a close topic for me, but technology. You have a young person in your church who's passionate about technology. Are you willing to empower them and say, hey, this is a ministry you should take on? Are you willing to take on this ministry, to grow it, to build a team around you, and to turn it into something that's going to really benefit our church? Then getting past the stereotypes. This is a little more tricky for us. How can we get rid of these young adult stereotypes? I think a big one of it is a conversation. One that got thrown out there is a panel, on a one-time panel where you can maybe one night have the young adults come forward. They're going to be asked questions, and then we can get feedback, and then maybe another night have older people come forward and be able to ask questions. Because there needs to be a conversation there, because the more you get to know somebody, the more you understand them, the more those stereotypes start to get stripped away and you get a better picture of what they look like. And that's our group. Not anything crazy. The biggest thing for change is our churches and leadership and church as a structure be willing to back us up in that.
So our group had the area of the Bible and how do we live that out? What does that look like with young adults today? And so for us, our core needs were applying the Bible, which is that idea of how do we take it from more than just exegeting the text and saying this is what a Greek word means, but actually living it out. What does that look like? Tough and real topics, less preaching, more discussion, needing more mentors and spiritual leaders, and moving from preaching at to challenging to do something, and then reaching out to people of different religions or people that think differently than we do. So those are kind of the areas that we were at. Now, when it came to applying the Bible and looking at how can we actually apply different concepts with the same truth, some of the things that we talked about is bringing real-life situations to the Bible and what does the Bible say about them. And so taking things that we're dealing with today in our world and then saying, how does the text handle that? Instead of saying, hey, here's some Christian things that we need to know, and as you get out there, you might interact with this and then react, but actually getting on top of that and saying, this is what this looks like. We need to have equipped leaders with a good head knowledge of the Bible. We know what the truth is, but actually be able to discuss it more than just like, well, it's what the Bible says, so there. But an actual knowledge of what that looks like. And so we need to be intentional with that and what that looks like. And then one of the things would be in the resource category as well as this, but we feel that we need to have online resources available when it comes to the text. We were talking about in our group how when it comes to young adults, a lot of times their first interaction with your church is going to be with your website, with Facebook, with Instagram, or what Yelp says about it, right? And so they're going to come into that area, and then they're going to look at what's going on, and they're going to see what you have with your belief system, with all that stuff. And if we don't have the appropriate stuff that's showing them what to do, that's going to be a tough thing. And then when they're looking for something, they want to use online stuff. A lot of times it's not going to always be hearing. It's going to be reading, because we live in the Google age where you can literally look up any question. I mean, how many of us, when we have a question about God, Bible, or religion, do we go to our phones first before our pastors, right? And so if that's the case, why are we not being intentional with that when it comes to applying scriptures where they say, hey, at our church, we have a resource or we can answer that question. If you go to our website, we'll give you credible places to find that to apply the text in a real way. And so finding those areas. We believe that for us, the people that need to own this is everybody. We all need to be intentional with that, but it starts, in our opinion, from the top down. We feel that our leadership, so senior pastors in here, or even at the regional level people in here, we believe that it needs to start there with the intentional thing of moving it down the spectrum to where young adults also, though, it doesn't stop one level above you, but young adults, you're intentional as well with applying scripture in a real way. Not just saying, hey, someone tell me what to do. Tell me how to do that, because that's one of your biggest pet peeves, right? Telling you what to do. So you're intentional with the applying process. The next core need is all tough and real topics. So the things that we're talking about are, in our world today, homosexuality, we're talking about politics, we're talking about all those areas that the church is like, we can't talk about that, especially from the pulpit. pulpit. That would be crazy, right? Well, this is where for young adults are saying, this is what I'm dealing with in a real life. If I go to college, my roommate might be gay. What do I do with that? If I go to college and I'm presented with alcohol and I lived in a church where if you even looked at alcohol or smelled it, you're going to go to hell, right? So how do we handle these things and have a conversation about that? Y'all know what I mean. But we have this, how do we interact with that on these tough topics? For us, one of the things that we do that we talked about in our group, and I know for our church, is we don't pick the topics the pastor, the young adults do. I don't always know. I'm 38 years old, and yet I work with young adults, and even though that's considered young in a lot of your eyes, I'm still far enough removed from what's going on that I don't know what's happening at that age bracket sometimes. And so if I want to actually talk about what you want to talk about, then I need to go to you and say, hey, what do you want to talk about? And so we actually, all of our topics at the young adult level is picked by young adults, not by us. And so that was a big area for us. And then also having open forums to say, hey, having discussion. For us, who needs to own this? In my opinion, it's the young adults. And in our group, we talked about that. Young adults need to be open to saying that's what you need. A lot of times you're waiting for the church to say, hey, invite you to be a part of that. Own your faith, own what you want to know, and say, hey, how do I get that? And so we need to encourage that. So the deal is for us on our end, though, for churches, is we need to give platforms for them to do that. If we don't give a place for them to speak at it, they're never going to do it. But when that platform is given, you can't say, oh, nothing's going to change anyway, so I'm not even going to speak up. It has to be spoken up. Less preaching, more discussion. And this is this concept of young adults said yesterday they don't like to be preached at. They don't want to be told what to do. They want to be talked with. They want to get to that level on their own. So some of the things we talked about is actually doing small group discussions. At Colonial Woods, we talked about in our group, one of the things I did is we do three teaching times of 5 to 7 minutes of teaching, and then three discussion times following each of those teachings to change it up, where here's a teaching, but now let's talk about it as a group. And that's tough, but how do we get those discussions things there? Open forums. And this is a key thing with that is having good facilitators in open forums. We all know we have that one person that comes to a group that takes over, and then it's like, why am I even showing up to this? Because that one person's going to talk the whole time. And so how are we are equipping our facilitators to make sure those discussions happen. And then changing teaching styles. That's a big deal in our churches. 3-point messages, they're awesome, right? But that's not how everybody learns. And so how are we changing up how we're teaching young adults the Bible? How are we doing that? And so one size does not fit all when it comes to teaching styles. And so we say, well, yeah, the church next door does that, so go there. No, if you want to be a church that reaches the generation you're talking about, you have to be willing to change. And so for us, we believe that who needs to own this? The pastors and the leaders. If you're going to be wanting to see the biblical text taught in a way, you need to hear the young adults and say, hey, I'm willing, if I'm going to be a communicator of God's word, I'm going to own that and help to be relevant to where they're at. Needing more mentors and spiritual leaders. And everybody goes amen on every level, right? But this is a key element, and this is, I think Jason talked about this on his thing, is we need to have people who are willing to come alongside young adults. And one of the things that I hear all the time is, well, if they need someone, why don't they ask? Because they won't. That's the answer. Okay? Because they won't. No one's going to come and ask. And that's why we need intentional people in your church who are saying, calling out young adults, say, hey, want to go to lunch? Because a free meal will get you a lot of places when it comes to that age bracket. No joke, a free meal. You say, hey, let me buy you lunch. Let me take you to breakfast. They'll even wake up early. They don't know that there's 2 7 o'clocks in the day, but they'll find out if you give them lunch or breakfast, right? And so you say, hey, can I take you to breakfast? And you're going, but I don't know how to disciple someone. Learn, all right? I don't know how else to say that. Mentoring, they need people in their life to walk through life with them. A lot of the young adults in our world today are coming from single-parent homes. They're coming from places that they just don't know, or even the parents don't know, and so they're looking for other things. And so you're not a replacement parent, but you are a mentor and a spiritual leader, and if you're waiting for them to ask you, they won't. So we want to make sure we're doing that. But we can, as churches, offer training. That's one of the things we talked about. How do we disciple? But being intentional. And we believe who needs to own this? The church as a whole. Anybody who's sitting in here today that says young adults are important, that's who needs to own this. And so we need to be a part of that. I'm sorry, I'm preaching. All right, so I need to go more discussion. Okay, here we go. We need to move from preaching at to challenging to. And so this idea of we like to tell them what to do is a little bit like similar, but they want a challenge on where they're going to live that out. What does that look like? And so one of the things we talked about in our group is setting the example. We can't tell people to go do something if we're not willing to go there first. And so we need to set that example. Providing opportunities to live out Scripture. So we, however, how as a church are we providing those opportunities? Not just saying, hey, go to your schools and do that, or go to your job and do that. But as a church, are we providing those opportunities to be challenging too? So we tell you, go find the challenge. Why aren't we creating the challenge? One of the things that we talked about is having young adults actually do the teaching, challenging them to be part of the teaching team. And so we're saying not just sit there, but rise up to the challenge of teaching what we're doing. So that's one of the things that we do. I told our short story in our student ministry this last year, I had 3 junior hires co-teach a message with me, and I had 8 senior hires preach a full message in our youth ministry. And what we did is, and here's the hard part for me, I had to listen to all their messages before they even got there because I'm teaching and training. So we're challenging them to do something, and then we're going to give the teaching and training on top of that with what we're doing. So having young adults be a part of their own solution, that's called being adults. And they know how to do it. They're just waiting for the opportunities, right? Change up our teaching style. I think we talked about that too, is just changing it up. Who needs to do this? Who owns this? Pastors and leaders. Providing opportunities, equipping what's going on, and we need to do that. And the last one we have is reaching out to people of different religions or people that think differently than us. And this is having resources available on other religions to help gain knowledge. We want to provide resources. So often in our churches, the only resources you can find about the church is your own church. But they're not dealing with just their own church. They're dealing with people who are thinking differently than us. And so how do we provide an opportunity to talk about that? Apologetics, the concept of defending your faith, not in a how do I defend myself so someone comes at me, I can put them in the dirt and say, hey, how horrible they are. But defending in a way that we can have discussion with what people are going on. What does the Bible say? Why do I believe what I do? How can I defend that? And then live life with people of other religions. How do we help them understand that you can still live amongst people who think differently and love them and teach them how we actually go and be a part of their life to bring them back to Christ, not to judge what they're doing. And so, because a lot of times the church say, well, they think differently than I do, so I have to judge them. And in the world that we live in, we have to change that concept. And then, well, when they're ready to see that, they'll come to me. No, we have to teach them how to get there. And who has to own this? Everybody. It's going to start top down because we're going to live it out. But everybody at the end of the day is going to have to own that. And then there's lots of resources. I'm done. Yeah. I think in the young adult world, it's going to be that internet, what can we do in that level? I think a lot of things regionally, our region and our churches need to provide training. People who have been doing this, who can actually train and equip, I think that those are things. And I think as churches, if your church doesn't have the ability to do that, let's contact our region and say, hey, show that to me. Where can I find that? Who can come in? Who can do that? Because there's a lot of people who are passionate about this, like the Rankies, who say, hey, I'll come in any day and do that. I'm a guy, I love it too. I love to do this stuff, and so I could do it. But there's a lot of smart people out there, so I think asking for help and doing that, but yeah, lots of stuff.
Hot. Woo. Warmed it up. You warmed it up. Woo. Here we go. I tell you what. Hey, this was a topic I enjoyed, and I believe those in our group could see maybe a little bit of passion, because I am one who believes in that the church should be making a difference in its community. A couple of things we spoke about is how to reach people outside the church and to serve our community. Festivals. And when we talk about festivals, not hosting our own. We don't need to, I don't say it, but we don't need another trunk or treat. There's 8 going on within 20 minutes of your church on any given Halloween weekend. Am I right? But what is the community doing? How can you partner with the events your community has already established? Come alongside and to equip them and to serve them, because they'll look at you much differently than hosting yet another event on your church grounds. So get involved in the community and the events that they're doing. Some of the other specific things were, you know, providing clothing. We talked about the back-to-school backpacks. But let's go a little bit further, and let's begin to identify other needs, because, again, many churches are giving away backpacks back to school filled with supplies. What about back to school sneakers or gift baskets to a newborn baby at a hospital, or, you know, things that may be needed at a respite care facility or something? So be a little more specific when you're saying we're giving clothing or anything of those needs. Child care services like the Pregnancy Crisis Center, school sports and activities, and to support our first responders. These are all things that were mentioned by our group, but I had to identify and say we do some of these in some of these ways, such as leftover donuts from Sunday. You know who loves them? The first responders. So where do we go after church, my wife and I? Yeah, where all the EMTs meet, and they have conversations with my wife nearly every Sunday when we have leftovers. They love us so much. So sports activities. Our youth director actually volunteers at the sports boosters, what do you want to call it, snack shack, concession stand, for all the home games. He is so well-loved, our youth director, in the school system because he's involving himself in some of these events that take place outside of the church in the community. So focus on that. Whose responsibility is or who should own it? All of us. But it's nice to have within your congregation a specific group of people who are more sensitive to the needs. Sensitive to the needs. Perhaps they work at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Or in our case, my wife and I work directly with the adoptive services of Shiawassee County and the foster care system. So whenever we hear of a need, we hear of it long before it's ever made known to even the people in the know who are employees of the state. We're aware of it before they even know. And so we bring in that mattress needed for a three-year-old girl who's been displaced. We provide the diapers needed for a three-week respite while a family is undergoing a traumatic event. So we are on the inside, but to have a team of people who are attuned to that is key. What is the stereotype, and as we break it down, of the word church, the stereotype of church? Again, many people see it as a four-wall or a building, and it's misunderstood. The church itself is misunderstood because of perhaps confirmational biases. When you were a child growing up, perhaps on church, what did you think of the church? What did people say of the church when you were growing up? So you've already got that confirmational bias of what the church and its stereotype is. And church is not relative. There's a fear of rejection or judgment. The church is cliquey. Oh, we've all heard that. The church is cliquey. There's groups within the church that you can't seem to break into because it's too hard to join whatever that sorority is within the congregation. Many people see it as a place of hurt or intolerance. You may feel lonely upon your arrival. I've seen that. They come in and no one's gravitating to them. No one's identifying them. And I have a unique way of doing this in our church. I just walk by an individual who has the gift of conversation. I don't like to use the word gift of gab. That's gabbing gets you nowhere. But the gift of conversation is different now, isn't it? So I often walk by and just whisper in an ear, burgundy shirt, capris. Yeah, you got it. And I walk away. And that person hearing me goes, I'm on it, Pastor. I'm on it. And so that person who just came now feels welcomed because I had to break them up in the group they were in, talking about everything they talked about online throughout the week anyway. But here's somebody new within the church. So we gotta make them feel welcomed because the stereotype of the church is I'm alone. Whose responsibility is it or who should own it? The leadership, as I just mentioned. I notice it. I see it. Many times I see it from the stage. And I go, oh, I hope somebody's on that. I hope somebody's on that. So I have oftentimes some visual clues I give my wife of what to do. And then she sends someone on task to take care of it for me. So allow young adults a voice. What was that? I'm sneaky. All right. I had one guy coming to me after I told him what to do. He came back later. He goes, you know, that really worked. And I said, it did, didn't it? I said, is this your second year here now? He goes, you did it to me? And I go, So now it's being taught by others. You know, I'm done talking with you, right? If you came to my church, we had our conversation, I'll move on. So allow young adults a voice. Stop this. This is who we've always been. This is what we've done. This is all what we've always been. This is who we are. Stop it, I said, stop it. So allow them, these young people, to make decisions. Allow them to make decisions. And oftentimes their decisions may be something, well, you question, right? But you step back, you watch, you guide, and you put parameters perhaps on what they want to do as far as activities or different venues. But give them responsibility and trust. Give them places of leadership that they might be able to connect with the body of Christ. I have right now a young lady, she's a recovering drug addict and has just been 2 years free of prison. And she believes she's called to ministry to work within the prisons for other young girls who've fallen prey to what she had done. And I said, I will send you through chaplaincy, but I want you to do this. I want you to serve with Linda. Now, Linda is an older lady. She's an old school man, Sloan, a missionary church attendee. All right? She's holding grief share meetings. I've attached this young lady with this old lady that they might work together. And when you see them two sitting over coffee after they have a grief share meeting, they should never have passed cross. Let me put it that way, right? In this world, you would never have seen these two connect, but they love each other, they hold each other accountable, and they're learning from each other. So get them involved like that and give them responsibility. Make them a team player and be open to their ideas. Their ideas are new, relevant, and current. Some are crazy, a bit whimsical, but listen to their ideas. And that comes from oldership. I meant to write leadership, but oldership came out, and I've coined it. The oldership, those people that have done it this way and always have done it that way. Support sustainable missions. How do we support sustainable missions? It was brought up that that's what we should do as a church. What are sustainable missions both locally and abroad? Schools. Come on now, schools is a mission field. And for many of you, they're just down the road. Am I right? So how do you involve yourself in school? I'm a parapro myself at school. I do it intentionally that I might have an impact in our kids. I drive school bus. I do that intentionally. Having never filled out a timesheet in 8 years, I still drive school bus. They wonder why. I say, well, because the minute I sign my name, this becomes a job, when in fact this is an opportunity for me to impact students' lives every day you call me. Well, you have to get paid. And I said, well, if you do, I'm grateful. But I won't fill out a timesheet nor sign my name to hours worked because this is not a job. They just shake their head in bewilderment. What? You're crazy. Listen, you've called me to sit on a bus and impact 40 students' high school run and another 28 elementary run. See that? I have an opportunity that I wouldn't get if I worked normal hours in a church in the building as we know it. Parish nurses are much needed. Community service projects within your community, like soup kitchens and warming rooms. Service over time builds relationships. So as you do one of these events, put in the back of your mind, I gotta have retention here. So do it not more than once, but twice, three times, every year, seasonally perhaps. So over time, you'll begin to develop relationships with those people within your community. We didn't get into the broad missions of that. But again, it could be that your church establishes, with people in the know, a community outreach team. Look outside, because we are too eternally focused. We must meet people's needs. Arrow, look above. That's what you have to do. These are things which look outside the walls of our church. It all encompasses what you see above, because we are at times too internally focused. How are we going to build our church? The team may gather around the table and say that. Staff meeting, how are we going to build our church? Whose church is it anyway? It's your church? I don't think so. These are God's people. People leave my church all the time. I'll tell you that. People leave my church on a weekly basis. And people attend my church on a weekly basis. And when they leave, I pray and hope they find another place of worship somewhere in the community. And if they say your church doesn't provide this ministry, this program, or this offering, I say, well, the Nazarene Church does. Well, you just told me to go to the Nazarene Church? I said, no, but if you want that program, they provide it. It's on Thursday nights. We don't offer that here. They often stay, but attend other programs and offerings of other churches in our community. We, for a long time, held midweek Bible study at the Nazarene Church. Well, the other church is meeting in here. So understand that we need to look outside. It's not our church. It's God's church, but we are all part of the body of Christ. And that comes from the pastor, that we can kind of begin to show our people that we're not a club, nor a clique or a group, a country club looking for membership, are we? We're not a country club. No, we didn't. No, this is the crazy thing. I'm a church of no budget. It's the first time in 10 years we've had enough in our account to cover the next month's lease. And yet we've been able to accomplish all this and many of the ideas that others have shared with us, because it doesn't take much to have a servant's heart to walk into your community, knock on doors, and assist people in need. So, yep. Last one was, church should look like the community. Be inviting, be welcoming, identify with your people. You know, if you're driving a Porsche, you know, trade it in for something like a late model Ford or something. You know, be identifiable to the community in which you reach. Pass it right on up.
Obviously, I can't speak like any of them, so I apologize, but I just want to kind of show you guys what we went through in our group and what we talked about yesterday. We have a lot of points. I'll just go through one each at a time. Investing in them as leaders and co-leaders, and we first started talking about creating like an apprenticeship, having somebody that oversees you and then just helps you, but then we also talked about putting them in leadership roles and letting them do it, because some people are already at that position that they don't need coaching. They already have those tools in their belt. They're ready to go. You just kind of need to be their mentor if they have questions or you see that they're struggling with something, help them out. And this really comes from the pastors and the ministry leaders. And then we talked about like research and books and everything for basically all of these as a tool of research and a tool of support needed. Assigning mentors, and we kind of talked about creating a mentoring program that's intergenerational, not just like a young adult to young adult or older generation to older generation, but kind of being integrated and having a champion for life groups and young adults. And Ms. Rinke is kind of talking about having somebody who's your advocate that is really passionate about the cause and that is going to be that person to assign those groups. So it's not necessarily like the pastor has to do it, but we can have someone who assigns mentors and creates those relationships, and then it kind of just builds on from there. Assign or answer the tough questions. We kind of talked about this would be awesome if we had it as a young adult, but to just create small groups where you can ask those tough questions, have the young adults like we do in our young adult life group, come with topics that they want to talk about, so that, and like Pastor Dan said that as well, coming through and saying, this is what we want to talk about. Everybody feels welcome. Everybody's invited. It's a non-judgmental area, and we're talking about what we want to talk about, what's relevant in our lives. Being transparent and open, this really comes from, like, we want to see that out of the pastor and the leadership team. Being transparent, approachable, intergenerational interactions with like life groups and things like that. Providing a non-judgmental and open environment, I think, is the biggest thing, so that everybody feels like they can say what's on their heart and what they're dealing with, and they don't feel judged. They feel like they can come back to church and they can be involved without the fear of being judged and the fear of being left behind. Invest in young adult groups. Take action in community. This is a whole church involvement. Involvement in those action plans. So if the young adults do put on something in the community or something within the church, it's not just for them, but it's for everybody in the entire church to come and be a part of and invest in and help lead or help greet or whatever it may be. And we also talked about empowerment, finding a cause within your community that you're passionate about that everybody can be involved in. We have a lot of those at our church as well. And then random acts of kindness. So it can be anything from going around the community, raking leaves, picking up and taking bottles back and giving that as a donation to somebody else. What they talked about, making a difference, everything, the backpacks, going back to school, everything like that. Finding ways to connect with young adults. The website, Facebook, coffee and greeter. Using social media, finding a person in control that can really take a hold of a Facebook page, an Instagram page, whatever it may be, that they feel passionate about that, and it's a source for these young adults to see and be attracted to and come in and bring those young adults in. And then integrating young adults as greeters, that they feel when a young adult walks in the door, they feel like, oh, I see this person. I feel like I'm able to connect with this person. And having them integrated into the Welcome Center to get connected with. Intentionally plan for young adults in your church and be ready before they show up. So be willing to invest with common interests. So going out, if you are really passionate about sports, like a lot of us are at this age, going out to those community centers and being willing to do that and bringing back people and just investing time in them so that they see that common interest and then maybe they feel connected and come back with you. And really, we talked about the biggest thing is going out to them, that they may not feel like they have the power or the energy to, or I don't know, a sense of belonging to go out and do that. They may not want to go find it, but if we're willing to go out and go to them, that they may have that sense of pride and come. And just a constant momentum of activities, gathering, and connections. Carolyn talked about this, that it's constant, the amount of people that come in and go out, go to school, and leave. It's not just a summer program. It should be a year-round program that everybody feels that connected to 12 months out of the year. Don't sugarcoat it. Challenge them. Pull the gold out of young adults. Let them lead. Let them preach. Everything that you guys were talking about, especially Pastor Dan, how they do that. I know we do that at our church as well. And just having more of that so they feel like they're able to do that at some point in their lives as well. And the last one, that they can be trusted, let them lead. It kind of ties back into a lot of what we said before. But giving them the keys, literal keys we talked about, like giving them the responsibility of doing something in the church. And then other responsibilities within there. And everything really for who needs to own this is the pastor or the church leadership and the church as a whole.
Good job, millennial. I'm one too, so it's okay. I can say that. Community and relationships. Save the best for last. I was really excited to get this one. If you understand APEST, some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. I'm a shepherd, and so relationship is my thing. And so it was cool to go down and work with the group. Go through the core needs real quick. The first one was space, and not just talking about physical space, although physical space is often required. We'll get into all the different types of space that there are as we get into it. A seat at the table. They want to be a part. They want to be a part of leadership. They want to be a part of what's happening. They want to have say. Intergenerational experiences. We got to get away from this idea that everything has to be separated by age. It's terrible. There's time for age-appropriate things, and then there's time to say, hey, you two and you two and you two and you two, you of all different ages, sizes, and shapes, go out there and do something cool together. Go minister together. Go love in the community. Go serve. Intergenerational investment. This is the more intentional thing that we would call discipleship, that word that you hear from us all the time. But there has to be, as it's been said by a couple in a couple spots, there has to be some folks who are willing to say, look at the younger generation. I've gone through what they're going through. I've experienced what they're experiencing. And I'm willing to pour myself into them. Deep relationships, doing life. This is kind of like space, but it's deeper and it's more intentional. We'll get into the distinction there. But basically, it's saying, we need you. That was one of the key things I heard from the panel of the younger folks yesterday is they kept saying, we need you. We need you. And see, for so many of the older folks, they thought, they don't care about us. No, they do. And then this last one kind of actually came out of a question that a lady asked yesterday. She said, what if I don't have any of these folks in my church? You got to go get them. And so we're going to talk about that. Going up to space. Again, we're not just talking about physical space. You have to go create a room for the young adults. Although if your church has that ability, it'd be nice to have their own space. But in space, we're talking a lot more about time, about schedules, about creating a gathering specifically for them that doesn't even have to happen at the church. It's more relaxed. It's probably going to be in homes. It's not going to be as scheduled as some of us like to be. I know sometimes as pastors, I've read Dan's charts for how a service is to go, and it goes down to the minutes, and that's great in some settings, but sometimes it's not going to be that played out. It's going to be, hey, we're going to gather together, and I just want to hear about what's happening. There are going to be times where you just say, I want to know what's going on in your life. Tell me what you're going through. Tell me your experiences. Safe places. I'm not talking about a room in the basement where there's no TV. I'm talking about, are you willing to allow a millennial, because you got to block out the news and the bad stuff. Don't need your help, Dan. No. Are you willing to be a person who is safe and who is yourself a safe space for somebody in this younger generation to be themselves. I told the story, I have a young man in this millennial generation. His neck is as red as a MAGA hat. I mean, this kid is, you know, he's got the flags on the back of his Jeep, and he doesn't know, nobody ever told him he shouldn't swear in church. In fact, he stepped in to play the voice of God for our VBS a couple weeks ago. I said, you just have to sit in the back and read the script. But if you mess up, if you mess up a word, it's okay. Please don't swear into the microphone. That would really ruin it. But this kid and I have nothing in common other than the fact that I want him to succeed and he wants to succeed in life. And so I'm willing to listen and let my ears be fouled by such terrible things. And he shares with me in detail his life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be safe? Are you willing to be space yourself? Who needs to own this? It's really the whole church, but it can be one person who says, I have a heart and I'll make the space. I'll be the person. I'll be the human ShamWow for some kids that are going through some stuff. Do you know what ShamWow is? You guys don't know. They want you to do an embarrassment. Which you got to watch after 11 for the ShamWow guy, though. Resources and support needed for the community and for the relational side of this component. You're going to see a lot. We did a lot of dittos because it's very simple for a lot of this stuff. There's some specifics, but for the most part, it's somebody has to be willing. Somebody has to say, I'll do it. I'll make the time. I have a heart. I have a couple hours. And yes, I have some space. Growing up as a young person, I had Chris and Jen Monroe. I was at their house all the time. I spent the night at their house all the time. My dad dropped me off at their house all the time. And so somebody who's saying, I'll be the space. A seat at the table. Listen and value what they bring. I play piano, and one time I cut my finger really bad, and they had it braced and stitched and hooked up to other fingers. And guess what happens? I couldn't play the piano anymore. I had to wait till that thing healed and my fingers could be loosened up. If we're saying we are the body and these people are a part of the body, it's like trying to play the piano with a couple fingers taped together. If they're not going to be a part of what you're doing, if they're not going to have a say, if they're not going to have a seat, then they're not going to be valued. They're not going to hang out. Allow them. Invite them to be involved. Personal invitation. If you're in a place of leadership at your church and you see a young person and you see has potential, say, hey, I think there's a spot for you. I want you to become involved. It starts with the leadership. The leadership will set the tone for the rest of the church and every other ministry that your church does. This is a top-down one. I'm the senior pastor of my church. This has to come from me. I have to be the one that says, we're going to value everybody. Caleb said something about resources needed for this. We were trying to be a little bit more specific at the end, and Caleb made kind of a passing comment that was really brilliant. He said, resources and support needed. Talking about seats at the table, he goes, you need to add more seats to the table. And we chuckled, and then it hit me. He's absolutely right. We need to be opening up opportunities for this generation to be involved. You need to be opening up space at your table for these people to be involved. And that could be adding tables, or it can be killing off some old people, whatever you want to do. A big part of this, though, is communication. And again, these kind of all play into each other because they're all relational. But communication, you have to start somewhere. You have to build a relationship. You have to be willing to talk and to listen and to listen and to listen. Intergenerational experiences. This is life together. This is small groups with no age divide. This is prayer and willingness to communicate. I actually grew up in a church that did this well. I grew up in a youth group that had everybody under the sun involved with helping with the youth group. And I think this is why the church that I and a handful of people around this room, the church that we grew up in, has a higher than normal retention rate for this millennial generation. Is because when we moved out of that age group, the family stayed the same. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't change. We didn't move into a next group with a new family. We're just a little bit taller. And that was fantastic. We need this opportunity to serve together. And I think if you're a person of a greater age and you're looking at somebody and you have opportunity, it's time for you to say, hey, come along. It goes back to this. Come along. Invite them. Say, come and do this with me. I love taking people to hospital visits. I love taking people to hospital visits and not telling them what we're going to do. I did it to a kid one time. I loved it. It was fantastic. I said, hey, we're going to go in. I knew the kid we were visiting, he's a drug addict, and his mind has gone. He doesn't function anymore as a normal, viable adult. And he doesn't like me because I'm a Christian. And that's okay because I'm ministering to him. I love him, and I love his family who goes to my church. I love these people. But I took this kid anyway. I said, hey, we're going to go in, and we're going to pray over him. I didn't tell him that. He was hated. And so this kid goes in, and he's all excited. Hey, I want to pray with you. And this kid starts yelling, I want you to pray with me. You got to invite him to those opportunities. I thought it was hilarious. He doesn't go to my church anymore. No, just kidding. He does. Where were we? Yeah, experiences. Intergenerational investment. Again, we call this discipleship. We call this, actually, Dale was spying on my group, and he gave us a good phrase. He said, draw the good. How do you start this? How do you start saying, if you think, hey, I'm willing, and I have a heart, and I see somebody, how do we start? And one person in my group said it best. They said, go up and introduce yourself. Say, hey. And drawing the good is walking up to somebody that you've seen, and you say, hey, I've seen you around here, and I want you to know I'm really proud of what you're doing. I'm really excited to see how you've grown. And I'm really excited for your future, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you, and I think you're awesome. Do you know how much that means to somebody? How much does it mean to you? And that doesn't change what age you are. So go up to them and say, hey, listen, I value you. I see you. I see you. And it can start a relationship where you can invest, where you can pour into these people, where you can do life together. You can encourage them. You can spur them on. And you can build a relationship that's going to last beyond whatever stage of life they're currently in. I love the people that I was their youth pastor, and they're now out doing things, and they call me and they say, hey, guess what I'm doing? I got a kid right now. He's like, hey, I just entered the Michigan State Police Academy. I'm like, that's the coolest thing ever. Like, I remember when you got mad at me and you threw a basketball at me in church, and now you're a police officer. You're gonna be, that's awesome. But I love that. And this is... You may think, oh, they don't want anything to do with me. No, that panel showed us they need you, and they want you, and they're waiting for you to say, hey, I see you. You're valuable. Come be a part of what we're doing. Again, coming back, this just takes time. You have to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to carve out a chunk of time to allow myself to invite you into what's going on. I'm going to communicate with you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear your stories, and sometimes the stories are not pretty. There's some really nutty things that are happening. And the younger generations are dealing with things that, I was like the last little pure generation of the 90s that, you know, grew up and we can still ride our bikes to the park and not worry about it. It's a different world out there, and you're going to hear things. One of the best things I was ever told in college was when you hear things, don't act in surprise. Don't be shocked. Don't go, oh, I can't believe you would do that. And it's because you're building a relationship, so you have to be willing to take something in and to hear the dirty and to hear the raw. Because you're there for a greater purpose. So I set aside my own comfort to allow God to do something amazing. Who needs to own this? Everyone. It is all of our responsibilities. I think it should start with the leadership, because I think as a pastor I set the tone. But if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, it's your job. That's your job. Doing relationships, we call this C space. Which is this, but more free-flowing, more personal, more sharing life together. And a big distinction for this one, I'm going to hurry up here, is that it is both the responsibility of the church to create an opportunity to do life together, but it kind of tags on to something that Megan said, that it's also the responsibility of the young people to want it. And they do want it. But going back to what Dan said, you own your faith. So if you're saying you want it, young person, millennial, Gen Z, own it. Say, hey, I want to be a part of this. But as Dan also said, chances are they're not going to come to you and say, hey, I want it. So we need to initiate that. We need to say, listen, I'm willing to do life with you. I'm willing to walk with you through the dirty. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a jail cell next to a guy, not because I was there, I was in jail, I was visiting. But I just sat next to him and just let him talk, shared my heart, shared a few words of wisdom, and just said, hey, we're doing this together. I'm here with you. They let me in for a little bit. They take all my stuff. But I'm willing to walk through this with you. I'm willing to sit in the courts. I'm willing to go and do those things. Resources needed, again, are you willing to? Didn't cost me any money to go to the jail and sit. It doesn't cost you money to care about somebody. It doesn't cost you much, but just a willing heart. To be pursued, this one kind of deviated from the rest of it, but it kind of tagged on to, again, that lady asked the question, what if there's nobody in my church? If there's nobody in your church and you have a heart for this age, then it's your job to go find them. Get outside the four walls. Go where they are, coffee shops, colleges, sports, anything outside of the church. I said, grab a van, fill it with candy and Xbox games, and you'll be all set. One of our millennial people in this group said, don't invite us one-on-one. Invite us in groups. Say, hey, why don't you and your buddies, hey, we got a thing going on over here. I love to go, and there's a neighborhood across the street. It's a low-income neighborhood, but we have basketball hoops. We set up back, hey, guys, we're going to play some basketball over here. We got hoops over here. Come on over and play. Invite them in groups. Be a person people want to be around. Now, I'm not saying, it's not talking about how you dress. You should smell good. I mean, take a shower. But this isn't about being cool, showing up. This is about your disposition. This is about being a person that people want to be around. If you're a crab, I'm going to love you from a distance, Dad. I'm sorry. My dad. If you're a crab, I don't want to be around you because you're going to bum me out, and I don't want you to bum me out. That's different from discipling somebody. That's just saying if I want to go out and I want to attract people, I can't go out and just be Debbie Downer all the time. Be a person somebody wants to be around. Pursue them. We have to get outside the church. We have to go where people are going. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, right, to send workers. And this is what we're talking about. Resources you need. You need to pray. Because these people are out there, and they're ready to be reached. That's what the Bible tells us, and God's word is never wrong. And so we pray for the Lord to say, open our eyes to opportunities. I told my group, if you're still working, go to your place of employment and look around. Look around, because there's probably a few of these people, you know, just loitering. They don't work, right? I'm just kidding, Caleb. No, but look around. There's probably some of these people are employed. Or we even said, take it a step further. If you're a small business owner, look for somebody to employ and get them in. Open up opportunities to build relationship. Pursue them. This is everyone. I love my church. I love gathering. But if all we do is gather, we never scatter, as they say, we will just gather till the last person dies. We'll close the casket and we'll close the church. So if you want these people and you're not seeing them at your church, you need to get out of your church. Guarantee you don't have to go far.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you. Team, every one of you did a great job of bringing it today. And right, there's some common themes I think you heard today over and over again. But at this point, we didn't have this in the agenda, but we've accomplished our mission today, so I want to thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Yeah, you've accomplished it. Very good. Well done. Here's what I'd like to do at this point. If you are age group 18 to 29, I'd like you to gather in the center aisle right here, and everybody else, I want you to come around them because we need to openly pray for them. We don't need a mic to do this. Heavenly Father hears us without electronics. So if you're 18 to 29, we want you in this middle aisle, and everybody come around them, surround them, pray for them. Jim Thompson, I think you need to be in the middle of the center aisle.